So good to see everyone here. We're going to jump right into the message this morning. So if you would pull out your worship guides, and there's an insert of sermon notes in there. If you don't have a worship guide or there aren't sermon notes in there, go ahead and raise your hand. The ushers will come by. I see a couple of hands over there. Ushers will be happy to bring them by for you. Keep them up until they hand them to you. The title of this message is simply Workplace Relationships. I got very creative, and it's Workplace Relationships. Why are workplace relationships so important? I believe the workplace is the best mission field in the world. It is the largest mission field in the world. We spend half of our waking hours at work with people that either we really like or we really don't like or somewhere in between, but at all times, we got a sphere of influence at work and we are influencing either positively or negatively. And we're either being a great witness for Christ or we're not. There's really not a lot of in between, honestly. God encourages us to work hard, to work diligently. And there are certain tips and tools and things that I'm going to share with you today that I believe are going to bless you, not only set you up to hopefully have success in the field that God's called you to work in, but most importantly, to bless you with leading people to Christ. Because how many of you know the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, is what the Bible says. There are lots of people out there who don't know God, but our mission as a church is to help people know God. Amen? Can I get a better amen than that? Come on this morning. Okay. So, going to open that. There's this great study that I found that honestly I thought, wow, this is incredible about workplace relationships and jobs. Gallup polls consistently year after year says that 70% of Americans hate their jobs. Yikes. And globally it's 90%. I'm like, what? And we have it a little bit better in America, but not much better. And the dominant thing that dictates whether people love their jobs or hate it is work culture. It's how we treat each other at work. What we say and what we do, the culture, the values of the organization drive culture always, but how we treat each other. It's so important. So the question is, how is the American church doing in that arena, in that marketplace? And I found another Gallup poll that just broke my heart. It said in a survey done by the Gallup organization, they measured the work habits of church-going people compared to non-church-going people. What they found was no significant difference between the morality and ethics of non-believers and Christians. Christians were as likely to steal company supplies, cheat on taxes, and call in sick as the non-Christian. So, as a pastor, my heart breaks about that. It's tragic. It's a missed opportunity, I feel like, to share the love of Jesus with people. But hey, it's up to us pastors to equip the saints for the works of service. So I believe this is on me and on Pastor Bill and on every pastor in America. If the church isn't doing something, the pastors aren't equipping the saints for the works of service. Okay, so I'm not here to shame anyone. I'm just saying, all right, let's raise the level. Let's raise the bar. Let's hold ourselves to a lot higher level of excellence this morning. Can I get a good amen? Okay, so out of Matthew chapter 5, I love this verse. Verse 14, it says, you are the light of the world. Say, that's me. Say, I'm the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds or good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I believe we're all called to be light in the workplace, all of us. And you have the power by the Holy Spirit to be a positive influence in your area of work. And influence. Even if you're retired, don't fall asleep. there's still your neighborhood. There's still like book clubs. There's still wherever you go, whatever you do, you have a sphere of influence around you. And I believe the church is called to be thermostats, not thermometers. Meaning, when we walk into the room, we take ownership of that room and we say, you know, I'm going to be a positive influence. I'm going to set the temperature in this room. I'm not going to let the negativity dictate to me whether I'm going to have joy or peace or happiness or whether I'm going to treat people well or not. No, I'm going to set the tone and set the example just like Jesus did wherever he went. Amen. And that's something that we can all do. And the Bible is very clear. There are ways that we can influence our workplace and our spheres of influence. And I believe the key is being a carrier of love and respect. Romans 12, verse 10 says this, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. What does that mean, to love people at work? It means you care about them. You care for them. Amen. And not just in your own way, but they actually feel it. Like it's received. And respect one another. meaning you value people, you hold them in high esteem. Come on, somebody. You actually listen to your boss when he asks you to do something, or she. And in the marriage message, we learned about the crazy cycle in marriage where it says that without love, a wife reacts without respect, and without respect, a husband reacts without love, and it just keeps spinning and spinning and spinning. And it becomes crazy. And it's this vicious cycle where it's like, oh my gosh, this has become, like, why are we arguing about this so heatedly? And why are you running away? Like, what is happening here? That can happen in the workplace. And maybe not so heatedly, maybe sometimes it does get that heated. So fill in the blanks, there's a crazy cycle that can happen in the workplace, and that's this. Without love, an employee reacts without respect. And without respect, a manager reacts without love. I've experienced this. I've had some really bad jobs in my life. Can anyone relate? Like where you work and you go, I don't really feel like going this morning. I don't really want to see that person. I want to really interact with, like, it seems like my boss doesn't care about me at all. Or it seems like those coworkers really just hate their boss and it's just become a toxic. Like everyone's nagging and complaining and backbiting and gossiping. It's terrible. I've had that. And what happens, though, you got to understand that people are actually good-willed. Like, they're good-willed. They're just doing the best that they can and the best that they know how. Most times. And I want to encourage everyone, give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Give your boss the benefit of the doubt. Give other employees the benefit of the doubt. Because what happens in this crazy cycle is each one is getting defensive, but reacts offensively to, you know, defend themselves. So what happens? Without love, an employee reacts without respect. And without respect, a boss goes, I provide this job for you. I schedule you. I try to, you know, stand up for you. With my bosses, it's like, why are you dissing me? So, and it becomes that vicious cycle. So I want to get very practical with this message and just break it down. Here's how to care for employees. If you're a boss, how do you care for employees? Also, this works if you work alongside people too, you work on teams, this also helps. Number one, you want to write this down, be clear. Communication is so important. You want to be clear as a boss. What's the vision for what you guys are doing? What's the purpose? What's your vision? What's your values? What drives the culture? Hopefully, every organization has values, has things that their goals are trying to achieve. Are those clear for people on your team? How about roles and responsibilities? Are those clearly defined? I've had jobs where the boss told me one thing but he expected something totally different. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? This didn't line up with what you originally told me. So you want to be clear. Habakkuk 2, verse 2 says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. You want to make sure things are clear. There are manuals, there are job descriptions. You want to make sure it's clear. That's why we have Discovery today. Our Discovery class as a church organization is our way of just making things really clear. If you desire to become a member at our church, or even if you just want to check us out and find out what we're all about, our Discovery class covers everything that you would want to know about our church, literally. Pastor Bill does a great job in that first half of Discovery. And so I encourage you to stay if you've never been. That's why we have our Summit area after church. The Summit is this place in the lobby where you can go, you can ask questions, someone who's knowledgeable about our church, and you can find out your next steps to be connected here at Victory Church. And we do practical things as an organization, as a church organization, but this same principle applies in the work area. I had a quasi-management position at the Gainesville Sun years ago. When I say quasi, because the boss met with me, and I was getting basically a promotion. I was originally just throwing newspapers at night, but then he saw how good of a job I was doing, and he had a place open in the warehouse where I basically helped distribute the newspapers to the other carriers who were going to deliver the papers each night. And there's a team of people working in the warehouse, about three or four of us at any given time. And he met with me and he said, hey, I want to give you this position, but I also want you to be kind of the team leader. I'm going to pay you an extra dollar an hour. Be the team leader. I said, okay, great. That's an extra dollar. I like that. And I looked forward to the opportunity to be a leader in that area. And he told me he was going to have a meeting with the other guys and let them know, you know, how we're going to set it up. Guess what? He never met with the other guys. He never communicated to them that I had any kind of leadership responsibility or any leadership role at all. And let me tell you, the first few months were awkward. I was there trying to lead, trying to influence, giving my input, and they're just like, okay, we may, you know. But it was like everyone did really what they wanted. And the boss really just, the manager just didn't want to deal with anyone, so he wanted me to be that middleman. And I'm like, I can't be the middleman if you don't have my back. And it took quite a few months for me to, you know, over time, through just pure leadership and influence of just building relationships with them, it took a while for me to just right the ship. But let me tell you, that was frustrating. So managers, please be clear about the responsibilities and roles you have. And the second way to care for your employees is to value them. This is even more important than just the job descriptions and everything. You want to value them. Yeah. You want to value their input. You want to value their work ethic, value their accomplishments. I love what the Apostle Paul, he's a great example in Scripture about how he interacted with people that he was leading. And you see it throughout his writings, how much he valued people, how much he cared for people. 1 Thessalonians 1:2, he's writing to the church in Thessalonica. He says, "We give thanks to God always for all of you, always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers. Bosses, are you praying for your people? Are you thankful for them?" 79% of employees who quit their jobs cite that a lack of appreciation was the primary reason for leaving. 65% of North American workers say they have received no recognition or appreciation in the last 12 months. 65%. Now, if you're a boss or a manager in here, you may say, well, those aren't my employees, because I'm constantly telling them, you know, I appreciate them. Yeah, but the thing is that it said they have not received, meaning, are you communicating in a way that makes sense to them? Come on, you can communicate love to someone and care to someone, and it's like you're speaking a different language. There's actually whole books written about that. You ever heard of The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman? Great book for marriage. Great book. He also wrote a book called Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace, and I recommend that. Five Languages of Appreciation in the Workplace. And study after study has shown that you can think you're communicating you care about someone, but they're not receiving it at all, and they're actually getting really frustrated and feeling very underappreciated. And this was eye-opening for me when I first started studying it. So real quick, I'm just going to go through the list. I'm not going to take too much time on it. I hope you get the book. But the first one is words of affirmation. And that's, this language is about affirming others, using written or spoken words like praise for accomplishments, affirming someone's character. The second one is quality time. Quality time is about giving someone undivided personal attention, like quality conversations, shared experiences like retreats, small group dialogues. You like to collaborate with people and dialogue with people. You need that face time. Acts of service is the third one. Acts of service is about pitching in to help and get things done. Though there are nuances to watch for, here's what you got to ask before you help. Don't just jump in and say, I'm going to help you with this. No, you might mess up their system. But ask before they help. But a person who receives that is going to really, speaks acts of service, they're going to really appreciate you pitching in. Just make sure you finish what you start, or else it's going to backfire on you. That's going to be really frustrating for them. Tangible gifts is the fourth one. Tangible gifts involves offering thoughtful, non-monetary gifts to those who appreciate them. So, like tickets to a football game or to a concert, like, here, I was just thinking about you. I thought you might like this. And it could be, and it may not be that expensive. It could be something like, hey, here's a great book, or here's a nice, you know, I don't know, depending on the person, just try to figure out what's something that maybe they would like and just give it to them. It's a thoughtful gift, but it's not monetary. They're not looking for money, but a gift is going to speak volumes. Physical touch is the last one. This is one you got to be careful about because you can get creepy and weird. Don't be a creeper. Don't be a creeper. Physical touch is much less valued, but, and it's a more sensitive subject, but it's a form of appreciation that people do receive. Okay? So here's the tip for physical touch. Fist bumps are good. High fives are good. Handshakes are good. Pat on the back. Tube taps. Do not do this. You will get sued. All right? Okay. Hey, keep those boundaries. Stay professional. But I'm telling you, good job. Pat on the back. Words won't even do anything, but just that physical touch will bless them. All right? So, check out the book. It's going to be really good. The third way to care for your employees is this. Relate to them. Relate to them. It's very easy to view people as human doings and not human beings. Do not just view them as pieces of machinery in the workplace getting stuff done for you. Don't do that. They're people. They have their own needs, their own concerns, their own cares, their own interests, their own personal lives. They have life after work. They do. And all those cares of life weigh on them the same way they weigh on you. Philippians 2, verse 4 says this, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Do we have that, Philippians 2, 4? No? Oh, I missed it. My apologies. It's in your notes, I think. Yeah. "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." So be understanding of your employees. Here's the thing. You want to uphold a level of professionalism, of course, because everyone has a bad day, but you shouldn't always have a bad day, right? You shouldn't always be struggling and like, you're going to lose your job if you're always struggling and always coming to work, bringing stuff from outside work into work. But as a boss and a manager, every employee is going to have a bad day sometime. There's going to be something overwhelming, a death in the family, you know, a pet they had to put down, something that's emotionally draining on them where it's going to be hard for them to concentrate while they're working, okay? So be encouraging to them and thank them for coming in and just, you know, working hard and trying to focus, like show that kind of appreciation. Like this last Wednesday was a very tough day for Lelaine because it was her father's birthday. Now, normally you say, that's great, but her father passed away the first year of our marriage. So for her, her father's birthday Wednesday was a very emotional morning for her. She was literally like crying and weeping in the car just thinking about her dad, missing her dad. And she's a music teacher at an elementary school, and normally she has car duty in the morning, so she helps the kids out of the cars and gets them into, you know, the building safely. And she was this close to just calling in and asking someone to fill in for her. But because she's a professional, she tried to compose herself, and she got in there. But here's the thing about having a culture of care is you're aware of people. You're aware of your surroundings. You're aware of the people and their countenance. And her coworkers and her boss saw something wasn't right, and they just checked in on her. And just checking in and asking, is everything okay? How are you doing? Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And they started sharing it with other people. This is kind of thing, this isn't gossip. This is just sharing, hey, so-and-so is going through something. Hey, go say good. You know, and people started coming to her throughout the day, just checking in on her. And Lelaine said this thing. She said, at our school, we're a family. Like, that's in their culture. That just struck me. I go, wow. In our school, we're a family. At Victory Church, we're a family. And I hope that you would take that same kind of value and bring it into the workplace. As bosses, as leaders, you set the tone. Yeah. You set the tone. So lead in this area. Amen. Set the tone. Now, employees, how do you honor your manager? How do you show respect to them? Number one, please write this down. Understand what is expected. That seems so basic, right? But it happens way off, more often than it should. There are team members and employees that just are not aware of really what their boss expects of them. They may have read the job description once. They probably didn't even touch the manual. Please read the manual. Read it. Do whatever you can. And here's even better. If you're like, I can't, the manual is overwhelming. Ask questions. Humbly ask questions. I'm telling you, it pays off. It does. Understand the culture. Understand the vision. Understand the values of the organization you're a part of. If something is confusing, seek out the answer. God's not the author of confusion. Come on, somebody. Amen. God's not the author of confusion. So let's be wise and ask questions. You will not be looked down upon. In fact, you'll be your boss's favorite. As long as they're not stupid questions like if he told you 20 times to do something and you're asking him a 21st time, that's a stupid question. Okay? And I say that in all love. But it's not wise. But if there's something that's really not clear and he hasn't addressed it yet, or she hasn't addressed it yet, ask the question. Proverbs 20, verse 5, I love this verse. A motive in the human heart is like deep water, and a person who has understanding draws it out. How do you draw out what's in a person's heart and mind? You ask questions. How else will you know unless you ask? You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. Ask your managers questions, and I'll tell you this, tone is everything. Tone is really important. So you can say this, why are we doing it this way? Does that sound right to you? Does that sound respectful? It really sounds like there's a lot of judgment and criticism just in how you say it. Why not say it like this? I know that this is important, so I want to do a good job for you. May I ask, what is the purpose behind doing it this way? And I'm telling you, you're going to soften your boss's heart, and he's going to go, oh yeah, so here's why we do it, here's the reason why. And then from that point, if you do have a suggestion for how to do it better, which I hope you should, then you can offer it there, and that's an appropriate time. Well, okay, so now I understand why we're doing it. What if we tried it this way? We can get the same result, but we can get it done faster, more efficiently. And the boss is thinking, I need to promote this person. I need to bless this person. Wow. You keep doing stuff like that, you are going to set yourself up for success. Tone is everything. How you approach someone with a reverential servant's heart, that's everything. And that leads me to number two, how to honor your manager. Submit to their authority. Authority. It seems like in our culture today, honor and respect are on short supply. Everyone's talking about love. Everyone's talking about caring for people. But when it comes to actually honoring and respecting and submitting to authority, that's like, what? What? But here's the thing. Throughout Scripture, we're encouraged to submit to authority. In every area there is authority, we're supposed to submit, because all authority comes from God ultimately. That's really important. You got to get that. All authority comes from God. Throughout Scripture, we're taught to submit to all forms of authority. So submit means to come under the covering of, come under the covering and the protection of. So when you say enter into a work agreement and say, I'm coming to get paid and get these benefits, and you know, but in return, I'm going to work hard. I'm basically submitting to how you want me to do it, what you want me to do, so that I can receive the benefits of my hard work. Okay, it's an agreement, but you have to submit to the authority, come under the covering of that. And there are many references in the Bible that refer to like slaves submitting to their masters. I hope everyone doesn't walk away reading the Bible and goes, oh man, God was for slavery. No, God was not for forced labor. There are other translations where it says slaves, it means bond servant, indentured servant. That means it was very common in antiquity, back in thousands of years ago, for people to get into debt that they couldn't pay off. And the only thing they could leverage, they didn't have the property or land, the only thing they could leverage was their lives. So they came into agreements with landowners and with business owners and property owners, and they would literally say, all right, in order to pay off my debt, I'm coming under this covering and I'm surrendering. Do you know that you do that as a Christian with Jesus? Yeah. The Bible says we're bondservants of Christ. Amen. Like, Jesus died for our sins, to wash our sins completely away. He's asking us to come under his covering. And in response, it's like, well, of course. Gosh, it's the greatest, I mean, there's no question it's the greatest trade-off in the world. That we get the benefit of our sins being completely forgiven. Yes, God, I'm serving you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love you, God. Yes. And I'm telling you, you don't have to, I know your boss and manager probably hasn't done something like that for you, dying for your sins. That only Jesus did that. But to show, it's the same principle of showing honor and respect, submitting to their authority. So please don't get tripped up when you see scriptures like this. Titus 2 verse 9 says, teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything. God's not for forced labor and slavery. This is teaching your bondservants, indentured servants, basically teach employees to be subject to their bosses and everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. Did you catch that last part? Good. That's the reason we submit to authority. Because your boss, your unsaved manager, is looking at how you treat other people, how you treat him or her. And if they get a whiff, hey, I'm trying to get these days off to go to church. That happens a lot. And in the back of their mind, they're thinking, you want to get these days off, you're not a very good worker, and you're a Christian. And if they're unsaved, they're adding things up, and they're thinking, well, I guess they're not learning how to work hard at church. I just want to encourage you, submit, have the right attitude in this way. The stakes could not be higher. Heaven and hell are real. Trust me, your attitude at work makes a difference for eternity. And I, by the grace of God, I've been able to share the gospel with every one of my unsaved managers that I've ever worked for. You say, wow, Pastor Mike, that's bold. I did it with my actions more than my words. I did it with my actions. Your actions speak louder than your words, always, always. And I encourage you, let your actions speak honor and respect. Amen. Last fill in blank is this, pursue excellence. Here's how you honor your manager. Pursue excellence. Even exceed their expectations if possible. What is excellence? I've heard people say this. Pastor Bill says this. It's doing the best you can with what you got until you get something better. And that's good too. But Have you guys heard of Marvel Studios? Anyone heard of the Marvel movies? Yeah, I find that funny too, because they're dominating Hollywood right now, all right? But they have something in their culture that is fascinating. They always ask this question. They go, okay, this is good, but can it be better? Constantly, at every single level of production and every single level of their, this is good, but can it be better? And I want to encourage you to take that, because that is a biblical principle. It is a biblical principle. Look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself, meaning it was he who did this. Now, God blessed him with gifts and abilities, but he was the one who developed them and with the right attitude implemented them. Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities. In another translation, it says, by his excellent spirit, that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. The whole kingdom. I remember this time, my first job, I worked at Car Spa, a car detailing place. And it was my first job. And it was pretty good pay. The thing that I really worked hard for were those tips. If you did really good job, you can get some really nice tips. And I really liked that. So I tried my very best to work as hard as I could. I tried to be excellent in everything that I did. I mean, it's car detailing, so you got to be detailed about everything. It fit my personality. I'm a detailed kind of guy anyway. But I was amazed with some of the other workers that were there, where it's like, dude, you would be getting better tips if you would just work hard. If you would just do what the boss has asked you to do, you'd be making some good money too. But they just kind of came and just did their thing and took smoke breaks as often as they could and just kind of, I was just like, all right, fine. I just kept my head down and worked. I was just serving. Now, it caught the attention of my managers. So they would often send people to me if there was a customer that they knew was picky. And there was this one customer that everyone dreaded. This guy never tipped. Not only did he never tip, ever, but he brought in his vehicle every week. And he stood over you, watching you as you worked. So the bosses decided to bless me with this guy because they knew I was going to do a good job. Now, something happened on the inside of me that day, I never forget, where I'd noticed other people would just like go, oh, come on, and they complain about getting him. But I just felt like this is an opportunity to show my managers, like, and to show this guy. Like, I was like, can I work so hard that I actually get a tip from this guy? And something, I was just like, whoa, this competitive spirit competing with myself and what I could do just rose up inside me. I was just like, all right, I'm going to do it. And I worked so hard on that car. I worked so fast, so efficiently. I was sweating like crazy. I mean, this is in the heat of summer, too. Thank God we had an overhang. But no AC, just working really hard. And, man, his vehicle looked amazing. He was standing there the whole time. He never said one thing to me. Now, when I went to hand him his ticket, he reached out and shook my hand. He pulled out his wallet, pulled out a crisp $1 bill. That dollar felt like $100, though, because he never tipped anyone. Now, I knew I wasn't doing it for the money. I was doing it to honor God. I was doing it to just know. I knew I did a good job. I remember thinking, I broke him. in the healthiest sense of the word. And let me tell you, my managers they saw that. They were dumbfounded. They were smiling. And what my managers ended up doing was they had me train other people how to run the line, how to do the detailing. So I wasn't given an official management position. I don't even think I received a raise, which I think I should have asked for one. But anyway, they gave me more responsibility because they saw how excellent I was in that area. And let me tell you, you can do the same thing in your job, wherever you do, whatever you do, do it with excellence. Pursue excellence. It's one of our values as a church, by the way, is pursuing excellence. And I'll wrap up this message with this thought. This week, the heart behind all of this, the heart behind treating people well, treating each other with love and respect, it really is a heart of worship to God. It's a heart of worship. So I encourage you, take this scripture, Colossians 3. If you don't get any other scripture, write this down on a note card, write it somewhere, post it somewhere, put it in your car, put it, in your restroom in the morning while you're brushing your teeth, you're meditating on this and praying over it. Do that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, it says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Come on, can I get a good amen with that? Amen. It is the Lord Christ we're serving. We're serving God. Hopefully what happens in our relationship with God is we're so in love with Him. We're serving Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We're just looking to God every single day, and we're praying. And what happens as we're worshiping and serving God is people will cross our paths as we're doing that. And our love for God should spill over to people that we're in contact with. Our respect and honor for God should spill over into those interactions with people that we work with. They should. So your action step for this week is to pray every morning and ask God, how can I show people that I care? How can I show honor to people that I work with? Or your spheres of influence. Again, if you're retired, this all applies to you too. That's good. Amen. Let's pray. Everyone close your eyes and bow your heads. Let's just invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us today. Maybe in your heart you know, like, hey, maybe I haven't been honoring to my boss. Maybe I haven't been the best employee. Maybe I haven't done all this. And maybe it's because my heart with God isn't right. Maybe because I just haven't surrendered this area to God. I want to encourage you, now's the time to surrender. Surrender your job to God. Surrender your time, your talent, your treasure. Surrender it to God. And just in your heart, say, Lord, I surrender this to you. I'm going to glorify you in this area of my life from now on. I'm going to glorify you. I'm going to serve you. And I guarantee you, God's going to bless you. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would help us all throughout this week to serve you and to serve people, to be humble and wise in our dealings and how we treat others, especially in the workplace, God. Help us, God. Lead us by your Spirit and have your way in Jesus' name. Now, with every head down and every eyes closed, I got an important question to ask you, and that's this. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You may say, Pastor Mike, I think so. I hope so. I'm not too sure. But listen, that's an important consequence to leave to chance. And God wants you to know that you can be sure that you can have eternal life. He wants you to know. In fact, the Bible says that I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. And what does that mean, to have eternal life? It means you got to be born again. Born again. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Having Christian parents doesn't make you a Christian. You got to have your own personal relationship with Jesus. You got to make the choice in your heart that you're surrendering your life to Him. It's a choice only you can make. But God promises that when you do that, you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. You surrender your life to Him. He comes and He lives on the inside of you and He makes you into a new person. And from that day forward, your name is written in heaven. And it's guaranteed you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. You died tonight, you'd be going to heaven. And I want to encourage everyone, listen, if you've never done that before, that's why you're here today, to make that decision. But maybe you did that in the past. And right now, you know you're not where you want to be with God. But you're here today because God wants to help you get back on the right track. And you want to mean business with God and recommit your life to Christ. That's, if either of those two apply to you, I simply want to pray with you. I'm not going to ask you to stand up. I'm not going to ask you to come forward. But if either of those two apply to you, you want to surrender your life to Christ or you want to recommit your life, would you raise your hand right now just so I can see you? Come on. Thank you. Anyone else? Raise your hand. All right. Everyone, pray this prayer with them. Help them out. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I recognize I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I surrender all to you. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Come on, give God praise to those who prayed that prayer. Love you, Victory Church.
Man, give Pastor Mike a hand. What a great message. Something we can apply, showing respect and love. If you're an employer, you heard some great things there that you can put into practice. And if you're an employee, you heard some great things. Practical stuff, right? I mean, Christianity, practical Christianity, how does it work? How to be an influence? You know, I believe the call on the church is very simple. Jesus gave it. We call it the Great Commission. is go into all the world and make disciples. And sometimes you think, well, that's not my job. That's, you know, that's your job, Pastor. But actually the Bible says it's the work of the ministers to equip the saints for the work of service. So actually you come in contact with more people every week than I do, us as a group. Think of how many people you come in contact, and most of the contact is where? It's at work. Use that as an opportunity to lead people to Christ. Think about that. Your work, I think it was Augustine that said that your works, you know, speak louder than words. You know, he said this, preach the gospel always, and if necessary, use words. Think about that. Your life is preaching. The way you work is preaching. And then one day you'll have an opportunity and somebody say, why do you work so hard? I'm doing it under the Lord. Let's take advantage of those opportunities that we have every day to just be a witness for Christ. You know, the world's coming to a close one day. I don't know when. I'm not making any predictions, but I know the Bible says he's coming back and everybody will face eternity. Everybody will be judged by God. They're going to go to heaven or hell. Think about that. Everybody you know, they're either going to go to heaven or they're going to go to hell. What an opportunity we have to let our life be a witness to help people make the right decision. Amen. Well, listen, if you prayed that prayer with Pastor Mike and you committed your life to Christ, on your connection card, there's a little box, and if you check it, I'm going to send you some special materials in the mail. At the end of the service, there's going to be some prayer teams up front to pray with anybody that needs prayer. If you raise your hand for the first time, if you don't have a Bible, come on up. We want to give you a Bible. Don't forget to put your connection card in the offering basket when it comes by. So we're going to receive our tithes and offerings. And here's my scripture from Luke chapter 6, Jesus speaking. And it talks about, as we read this, something we call the law of reciprocity. What is reciprocity? You know, you do something, something comes back, right? And that's like a farmer. He believes in reciprocity. He sows seed, he gets back a harvest. And that's what Jesus is talking about here. Look at this. He says, give and it will be given to you. See that? That's the reciprocity. Now, sometimes we just see giving as, oh, okay, I got to give to God. See it as the beginning of this law of reciprocity. Give and it will be given unto you. That's what he said. Give and it will be given unto you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Watch this. By your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. So here's how the law of reciprocity works. You get back what you give, and you get back in proportion to what you give. So, we need to open our mind to what God wants to do. Open your mind to being blessed and understand that if you're giving money, expect God to give you money. That's what it says in Malachi. He's going to open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you don't even have room enough to contain it. The law of reciprocity is going to work every day, every time that we give to the kingdom of God. Let's pray over this offering. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give good seed into good soil. Ask you to take these gifts, multiply them, make them do more than we thought they could do. We command these gifts to win souls, make disciples. And now I command a blessing on the giver to get back 100 times what they give, because that's what you promised your disciples. And I speak this blessing over your people that you commanded Moses to speak over your people. I say they're blessed coming in, they're blessed going out. In the city and in the country, in their home and in the field, when they lie down, when they get up. Blessed is their bread and their water, their basket, their bowl, their barn, their bank account, their job, their home, their car, their animals, everything that they have. I commend the blessing of God upon them. I say if the enemy comes against them one way, he'll flee seven ways before their face. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against them in judgment, they'll condemn with the word of God. They're the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. They'll lend and not borrow, and all they put their hand to, they'll prosper. I call increase into God's people, spiritual, emotional, physical, financial, social increase, blessings from every direction, opportunity to lay hands on the sick and lead people to Christ in Jesus' name. Everybody that believed that said, amen. God bless you as you give.